A story about a pastor in this particular congregation. In this particular congregation, they had a custom where the pastor would call out a word, and someone in the congregation would respond with a hymn, a favorite song of theirs that related to that word. And then they would sing it. And then they would repeat the process. And so on this one particular Sunday, the pastor called out grace. And almost immediately somebody shouted, you can probably guess it, Amazing Grace. They sang a couple verses of Amazing Grace, and after that the pastor looked across the congregation and said, cross. And you can imagine what they said, right? The old rugged cross. And then the pastor threw out the word love. And immediately someone said, Jesus loves me, this I know. So they sang a few choruses of that favorite song. And then the pastor thought for a moment, he looked out across the congregation and said, youth. And there was dead silence. And then the silence became awkwardly long. And then finally, a little old lady in the back of the sanctuary stiffened up and took a deep breath and shouted out, precious memories. Think about it. For some of us, youth is just a precious memory. But there are other memories that are near and dear to us. Yes, memories of our youth for those who are not quite as young as we used to be. But also memories of special events. Memories of loved ones in our lives. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I struggle to remember things, even at my nice young age. Where did I put those keys? Ever thought that to yourself? Or maybe out loud? Oh, come on, you know the name of that guy. He's always so friendly to you. What is his name? I can see his face, I just can't remember his name. Or how about this one? I know there's something important I'm supposed to do today, but I just can't remember what it is. Sometimes we need reminders. On my calendar app, on my phone, whenever I add an event, it gives me the option to add a reminder, to add something that will pop up. And I can ask it to pop up 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a whole day before the event to remind me that it's coming. It's kind of technology's way of saying, don't forget that you have this event to attend. Sometimes we do need reminders. But I think sometimes we also need more than just a reminder. We need what I'm going to call a remembrance. Now, sometimes some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, aren't a reminder and a remembrance the same thing? And in some ways they are. I think in some ways a remembrance brings to mind something from the past. But there's more to it than that. We gather today on World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday began in 1933 as Worldwide Communion Sunday. And it was started by Reverend Hugh Thompson Kerr at the Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he and his congregation were looking for a way to celebrate the connectedness of all Christian churches around the world, regardless of denomination, regardless of geography, regardless of what language they worshiped in. And so they appropriately chose the sacrament of Holy Communion to help everyone symbolize and to remember the unity that we share. World Communion Sunday helps us to remember that we are connected in Christ. It reminds us that we are truly one. But what then is a remembrance? Different translations from the one we heard this morning translate particular words in particular ways. I think the NIV that Harry read from said it's a day to commemorate. The New Revised Standard talks about remembrance. It's a day of remembrance. Other translations might talk about it being a memorial. But I'm going to talk about it as a remembrance this morning. That's the word I'm choosing to stick with. And I was told in seminary that remembrance, at least in the Jewish mind, or if you want to think about a commemoration or a memorial, in the Jewish mind, it is different than just a reminder. God wasn't commanding Israel just to remember, to be reminded of what he was going to do on the Passover. He wasn't just asking them to bring to mind, to not forget what he had done. When modern Jews celebrate the Passover, a question is asked. What's different about this night? It's a question that a young child in the family will ask. And the oldest male that is present at the Passover meal will reply, on this night. On this night, God delivered us from captivity. And that, I was told, helped explain the difference. If they were just trying to remember, to be reminded of what God had done, the oldest person in the house could easily say, well, thousands of years ago, God did this. But in the Passover meal, they are seeking to bring that past act of deliverance into the present. They are seeking to enter into it and to have it enter into their celebration. There is some way in which a remembrance helps bring the past into the present, not just as a reminder, but as an experience. And not just an experience of what we do, but an experience with God. The Passover meal, which was being instituted in our reading this morning, with all of its symbols, the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, the roasted lamb, all help bring the reality of that first Passover forward to those who are celebrating. Those present experience in some way, in some real ways, sometimes in some new ways, God's deliverance in their lives. It seems like maybe Jesus as a Jew was capturing this idea when he gave us the Lord's Supper. I think as a Jew, Jesus would have known the powers of the power of symbols, the power of experience, the power of reenactment, the power that our senses have to make things real to us, even things from the past. For when Jesus was about to give himself up to death, he didn't just say to us, don't forget what I'm going to do for you. He said, no, do this in remembrance of me. We can be reminded of Jesus' death every time we look at the cross. We can be reminded of the death and resurrection of Jesus every time we look at a symbol which is really nothing more than two sticks put into a particular shape. We are reminded every time we say in the communion prayers, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Those are ways that we're reminded that Jesus died for us. But in the taking of the bread and in the drinking of the cup, we experience our salvation, our deliverance in real and new ways. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery how our senses, it's a mystery how our reenacting the four actions of Jesus. Some of you may never have made the connection before that we reenact those four actions. Jesus took bread. It's one of the reasons we have it covered. We prepare the table. Jesus blessed it. We ask for a prayer of blessing, a prayer of thanksgiving upon the elements. Jesus broke the bread. After the prayer, I take the bread and I hold it up and I break it in front of you. And then Jesus gave the bread, just as like we do. Those four actions, taking, blessing, breaking, giving. We reenact those every time we come to the Lord's Supper. Somehow Jesus knew that giving us something that involved our senses as we touch and taste and smell the bread and the cup, as we come forward, living out once again our salvation by coming to Jesus and by receiving grace. All of that's a mystery, but all of it helps bring the reality of our salvation, the reality of God's grace in our lives, the reality of Jesus' love for us into this present moment. It's not just a reminder, it's a remembrance. Now, some of you might still be saying, Pastor, I'm not quite getting what you're saying. So let me see if I can help us out a little bit. Senses do have power, I believe, power to bring the past into the present. I can still remember the smell of my grandmother's kitchen when she was making rice pudding. Now, this wasn't just any rice pudding. It wasn't the custardy kind that you made on a stovetop. It basically was a lot of milk, a lot of rice, and a whole lot of sugar. And she would make it in a roasting pan, and she would put it in the oven, and you would bake it. Sometimes there was a little nutmeg or a little cinnamon on top, and I can very much remember the smell of that rice pudding and remember the wonder of eating it after she had made it. Well, when she died, I found out that there was no recipe that she passed on. My aunt tried one time to recreate it, and it didn't taste exactly the same. My dad tried maybe once or twice to recreate, and we just couldn't get it right. There was something different about it. And then one day, I'm just perusing through a church cookbook, and I saw a recipe for rice pudding that wasn't the custardy kind. And so I tried it. I tried it, and I mixed the ingredients, and I put it in the oven. And as it was baking, I was taken back to my grandmother's kitchen. The memory of those moments of my encounters with her, the memory of the taste of that rice pudding, the memory of the joy of spending time with her as she made it, came back as real as if I had been there. In fact, I fully expected her to come up behind me and slap my hand for tasting it before it was time, because she used to do that too. I'm often reminded of my grandmother, but when I smell that rice pudding baking in the oven, that's a remembrance. There was another time I had a powerful remembrance experience. I've taken communion my whole life. But on this one particular Sunday, my wife and I visited Christ Church Cathedral in Lexington, Kentucky. Had never been to an Episcopal service before. Had never been to a service where they use wine for communion. Had never been to a service with all the pomp and circumstance and symbolism. But somehow throughout the whole of that service, and especially when I came forward and when I took the bread and ate it, and when I took a sip out of that chalice, the taste of wine making it a very different experience, there was something that happened in that moment that made Christ's love for me real in a new and a very powerful way. That's remembrance. That's what we come to celebrate today. Some days it's more emotional than others. Some days it's more real than others. Some days it's more new than others. But if Jesus just wanted us to be reminded of his death on the cross, he could have pointed to a cross. He just could have looked at his disciples and said, "Don't you forget." But no, he gave us a meal, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And so we come to be reminded, but we come in remembrance to experience anew the grace and love of Jesus this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.